What could be a milestone moment for U.S. immigration law? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. At the U.S. Supreme Court, there are oral arguments today in an immigration case. It's about what's called the Deferred Action for Parents of Americans program. This allows parents to fix their immigration status if they've been in the U.S. for more than 5 years and have children who are here legally. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams in Washington has more on how businesses are weighing in on this debate.
Several big names in the tech industry filed a brief in support of the Obama administration. Joining them are businesses from the agriculture sector.
It's a chance for regularizing or legalizing those people who have been here for a long, long time working.
Mike Gempler is executive director of the Washington Growers League. He says about 70% of seasonal farm workers are undocumented.
We really do want a stable and legal workforce, and I see this as part of the transition.
The National Federation of Independent Business joined a brief opposing the administration. The Federation's Karen Harned says their concern is with the process side of things.
Whether or not the Department of Homeland Security should have undergone notice and comment rulemaking before changing the way they're enforcing the immigration laws.
So the arguments in this case will be a mix of debate over immigration and executive authority, all happening before a divided court during an election year. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Business is global. The lower house of Brazil's parliament has voted to begin an impeachment action against the president, Dilma Rousseff. She denies the accusation that she manipulated the government's accounts to hide a growing government deficit. The case against Ms. Rousseff will now be sent to Brazil's Senate. Hundreds of thousands watched the vote on huge TV screens across the country, as the BBC's Wira Davis reports from the capital, Brasilia.
The 513 members of Congress cast their votes in a marathon four-hour voting session. The two separate camps, for and against the impeachment of President Dilma Rousseff, watched on huge screens outside. And as the night progressed, the Yes campaigners grew more vocal, more confident, while pro-government supporters fell into silence. And when they reached the 342-vote threshold, the Yes camp erupted in celebration. Their victory is a huge blow against Dilma Rousseff. It makes a full impeachment trial in the Senate and her suspension more likely. It also could be the beginning of the end for 12 years of left-wing Workers' Party rule in Brazil.
The BBC's Wira Davis. NPR is covering the state of emergency in Ecuador after the 7.8 earthquake there. And in a remote area of southern Japan, U.S. military aircraft were helping to bring water, food, and other emergency supplies after a separate pair of powerful earthquakes there. Toyota, the world's largest car company, has suspended operations as it assesses the condition of its far-flung network of suppliers, some of them small machine shops in remote areas. Sony closed some plants, as did Honda. Nissan today reopened two factories in the town of Kyushu. A spokesman for Nissan says there were lessons from previous disasters. Quote, we now have maps that show where exactly the suppliers are. Nissan stock fell 2.8%. Toyota stock fell 4.3%. The main index on the Tokyo exchange fell 3.4% today. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down between 1 and 2/10% now. New figures from the Club of Nations, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, reveal that Britain is now second only to the United States in the total amount of cash it pays out in foreign aid. Per capita, the U.S. is higher. The British government spends three times more on aid per head of its population than the U.S. does. But amid opposition to this price tag, this has become a higher-profile political issue in the U.K. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard has this report.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6,
India has its own 5, space program. 4, it even has its own 3, aid program 2, too. And yet last year, the British 0, government gave the Indians almost $500 million.
It's absolutely absurd. It would be laughable if it weren't such an egregious waste of hard-earned taxpayers' money.
Jonathan Isaby of the Taxpayers Alliance says Britain's spending more on aid than ever before, at a time of austerity at home and when the UK government still has to borrow billions to make ends meet.
The national debt is going up, you know, £1 billion every week, which is storing up debts for the next generation, which itself is hugely immoral.
But others say the UK should be proud of the help it gives to other countries.
We, on a regular daily basis, achieve remarkable and amazing things with our aid.
Sally Copley of the UK's leading aid agency, Oxfam.
Over a five-year period, British Aid helped 11 million children go through school. It made sure we could distribute nearly 50 million bed nets, which then contribute to malaria deaths falling dramatically.
But the critics claim too much aid money is spent on frivolous, undeserving projects. This Kenyan soap opera was partly financed with UK aid. So was this Ethiopian girl band. Unlike the US, the UK has committed itself to the UN target of spending 0.7% of its GDP on aid, come what may. Some taxpayers are having their doubts about the policy.
It's too much.
I'm not against foreign aid, but it's got to be spent wisely.
I think that money should be reversed and brought back to England or Britain to pay for the home affairs.
But a clear majority of British voters does not want the aid budget cut. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Another story we're following today, the collapse of efforts by the oil producers cartel OPEC to freeze production. Iran, which is ramping up production after economic sanctions were eased, was uninterested in freezing. Traders are reacting today with oil down 3.3% in New York to $39 a barrel. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.